Okay, young millennial, that's my baby boomer song, The Age of Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension, where we all thought it was going to be about peace and love forever and ever. I know.
Never heard of it, but it sounds great.
Oh, this is our continuing thing. Gang, welcome back. We're boomers and millennials. Love one another. We're happy to be here on the sidebar. Next up, we've got Marcus Barrington, who's been a guest on the show before, and he's back. Marcus, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes. Now, the last time you were here, you brought a ghost into the studio.
Please, unintentionally.
Please do not do that again without giving me some warning. I don't want to have a heart attack after all these Red Bulls and everything else I'm drinking here. Tell us, 2020. What do you think?
All right, 2020 is actually going to be a pretty explosive year. And really, it's been getting set up since 2017 was when the lineup for 2020 was taking place. And then 2018, for most people, was sort of like a kick in the butt, right? A lot of people had a really difficult year. That summer, we had what I call the summer of backwards, right? Every single planet, with the exception of Venus, went retrograde. So that means they were spinning direct at the exact same time, which is unheard of. That never happens. So it was kind of also the summer of love, because Venus rules love, and it was the only planet that was spinning direct. Also, that made Tauruses, because Venus rules Taurus, the only zodiac sign that was normal or sane that summer. And then everything's been kind of leading up to it in 2019. Now, we have five of the major planets in Capricorn right now, which is going to stay that way for the first 4 to 5 months of 2020. When any sign or when any planet goes into Capricorn, it makes them really serious, because Capricorn is the serious sign. It's the top of the rocks, right? So the first part of the year is going to be hardcore, full steam ahead. Everybody's going to be on it. And it's all going to kick off on January 10th when Uranus goes direct. Now, Uranus controls explosions, right? And he's been retrograde for about 5 months, making bad explosions kind of happen, which is you'll see on the world stage, impeachments and things like that, and big secrets coming out. So now he's going to go forward on January 10th, which is going to be when everything for us as a nation or individually is going to explode forward in a really big way.
Okay. Are you ready for that? Jason, what's your sign? We went through this last time. What are you again?
Scorpio?
You're Scorpio.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm Libra.
So Scorpio, particularly in 2020, is all about self-like expression and diving deep and undergoing really big emotional changes for Scorpio. Ooh, so it's going to be a really intense year, particularly for Scorpio. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm ready for it. Let's go. Let's do it.
What about Libras? I tend to get along with everybody, I think. I love
Libras. Well, Libras are the balancers, right?
Yes, we are.
They're also the relationship sign of the zodiac, and they're also one of the most favored for love next year.
Oh.
Yes.
Hear that, Jay? All right.
Get ready.
No comment for the peanut gallery. What are you, Marcus? What's your...
I am a Taurus, Scorpio, Virgo. So,
oh, you sound very complicated.
Well, Taurus and Scorpio are two emotional signs of the zodiac, and then Virgo is what I lovingly refer to as the OCD sign of the zodiac, right? Because Virgo is like, if you have a Virgo friend and you're going on vacation with them, the Virgo is the one that makes the Excel sheet that lists out every moment of your entire vacation.
I have been with Virgos.
Those are Virgos.
I have been in relation with Virgos. I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be a big year. It's going to be a really amazing year for everybody. And anyone who's been doing their work is going to succeed quite well this year. But it's going to be a big transformational year. So the second half of the year is going to be sort of like when we kick back and sort of enjoy the fruits of our labor. But there's also going to be some really powerful, we have three powerful eclipses this year. We have three Mercury retrogrades this year. And we have also Venus going retrograde this year. Now, Venus skipped her retrograde this in 2019, which is unusual. So we've had more of like a calming of sorts with love stuff, or a lot of people saw a lack of love stuff going on this year as far as like falling in love. But now next year she's going to go retrograde. So we've got a lot of big things coming next year that are going to really stir things up. The eclipse is particular. So one of the big things on the stage next year for all signs is sort of diving deep into the hidden parts of ourselves. That's because Pluto is going to be doing a major transit for most of the year. So Pluto controls the unseen, the underworld, and transformation. And when he goes into transits, typically can be kind of a painful experience, because it's when we're forced to change and kind of grow and become more than what we are. So he's going to be doing a transit for most of 2020, which is going to really push everybody to sort of go down deep inside and bring to the surface the unseen parts of our emotions, our wounds, and the hidden parts of our personality.
Well, plus he's angry ever since he got downgraded from planet to just clump of ice, I think is what happened a few years ago.
Yeah, so he's going to make us all pay in 2020.
Yes, we're going to have to pay the price. I love this stuff, and I'm like most people. I read my horoscope every now and then because it's amazing to me how there is sometimes correlation. But looking back at how all this got started, there are 12 signs.
12, correct. 12
signs of the, and there are 9 planets, right?
Yes.
So not every sign got a planet then.
Well, some of the signs are ruled by 2, right? So Venus rules 2 different signs, and Pluto rules 2 different signs. So some of the zodiac signs are dually ruled by the same planet.
Okay. So Mercury is the messenger.
Ruler of communications.
So when Mercury is in retrograde, right, what is that means communication is blocked?
Yes. And it also, Mercury rules technology, contracts, things like that. So when he goes retrograde, that's the one that happens the most often. So when he goes retrograde, he sort of unleashes just a bad plethora of communication. Technology will go bonkers at that time. We have 3 of these coming up in 2020. Also, one of the things that you'll see happen a lot when Mercury is retrograde is the past coming back up, right? So that's when you'll run into exes. That's when you'll start to feel things from the past. That's when you'll start to be spinning around in your mind about things that have already happened. Mercury controls that. He'll bring the past back up when he's retrograding. So that's what normally makes Mercury retrograde pretty interesting for most people.
When we come back, I want you to explain to me why all Leos are the way they are. Because I have had so many relationships with so many Leos, and they are just going to do me in. They're just going to do me in. Gang, thanks for tuning in here on Channel Q. Diana Ross and the Supremes, I don't care what sign you are.
I love your music choices.
Dug that one up for you.
My time here.
Yes, Marcus. I once read a great book by Joseph Campbell called The Art of Mythology, where he studies Greek culture, Roman culture, Egyptian culture, all the great cultures of all the great ruling empires of the world, who, in essence, put a lot of the building blocks of the tools that you now work with together. And they're still relevant today. I mean, every daily newspaper seems to have your daily horoscope available to read, right?
Yeah.
Where did you acquire this vast knowledge? Because you throw this stuff out don't you know Mercury's in retrograde for the 4th time? I'm like, I didn't know.
It started with tarot cards for me, which is what we talked about the last time I was there.
Don't bring any ghosts in the room.
I'm not.
Okay.
There's a couple here, but they're fine. It started with tarot with me, and then from there, I started to get really deep into astrology, and I got my chart read by this amazing astrologer in New York, and then I started to start some training programs with her because I just found it to be so fascinating. But astrology always interested in me, especially Greek mythology, because I remember learning about it in school. So I always found that stuff to be really fascinating. And then when I started to actually really look into astrology itself, which used to be considered a very real science, then I really started to get interested in it. And when people have asked me, they say, do you really think that the planets have any kind of effect what's going on here on Earth? And I say, look at it this way. The moon is the closest orbiting body to us, right? And the moon has such a pull, has such a gravitational pull on Earth that it literally pulls the water in the ocean up towards the sky, creates the waves on our planet. Humans are made of, 75-80% water? And I have 3 friends that work in ERs, they're nurses in ERs across the country, and they say the full moon is always the most craziest day, right?
I run a city.
Yeah.
The full moons, we have the most activity.
It's insane.
Law enforcement.
Right. So that's just one body that orbits around with Earth that has that strong of a gravitational pull on this planet that literally pulls water from our surface up towards the air, right? Or up towards the sky. So yes, I absolutely do think all of these planets are pulling and pushing against each other in gravitational fields, and that's going to hit us. And absolutely.
I'm being pulled as we speak. I'm
so glad we decided to record at the beach today.
I had to paint a picture for them.
So, but then when you actually put in the mythology of it all, which is so ancient and has so much history behind it, it becomes even more fascinating to me.
So many of them seem to be masculine symbols. Mercury, the messenger, masculine. Mars, the god of war. Jupiter, meaning the god of all the gods, right? Pluto,
there are definitely
the underworld,
feminine.
Hades. But where are the feminine signs? Aquarius?
Venus is obviously the biggest controller. But what you would actually see with most people who are just going to check their zodiac signs or their horoscopes don't know this stuff, but there's actually several major asteroids that are within our orbit, right, that are constantly orbiting around the Earth and around our solar system. Most of those are feminine. So you have like, you have Aries, the goddess of discord, right? So she's the one that's always stirring the pot when she's interacting with ones. You have Pallas Athena. She's the ruler of wisdom, right? She's the mother of all, right? So most of the big feminine powers, with the exception of Venus, are asteroids.
That's
so
interesting.
If you do dig deeper into it, those asteroids are part of daily astrology.
Right. So ancient people looked up at the sky and they started to make connections between how the stars would align at certain times of the year and what was happening here on Earth.
They did. So astrology was originally developed to predict like when the rain season was going to come. They always knew that when Aquarius was in the sky, that's when it was going to rain. So that's how it was originally developed. And then mythology started to play more and more of a role into it.
Right. And now we're learning, of course, that the Egyptians and the way in which pyramids were constructed, a lot of them relied on the stars and the positions of the stars and lining up between different time periods. So the ancient people were clued into all this.
Yeah, the Babylonians go back with astrology
all the way back there. So, I mean, we as modern thinking people who like to believe in science and reason, I think there'd be a lot of skeptics. And yet, every daily paper's got a horoscope.
It's sort of becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And even people who I know who used to be very skeptical about it, I have, you know, obviously all of my friends know I do tarot, I do astrology, I do all that stuff. And I've had several friends that have never, like, they won't go anywhere near it. And even though they're really close friends of mine, and even them recently have been like, will you read my cards? Something's going on. You know, and more people are opening up to it. It's becoming a very big part of people, like in their daily kind of influence and that's how I try to gear my stuff. I try to make it much more personable in the daily posts that I do on my Instagram page.
Right. You know, the way I look at it is, you know, the ancient people looked at the stars in the sky, the ones they could identify. Well, they didn't realize that there were billions of them beyond all that. And so we as modern day people, we can look up at the sky or look at our world or what we can sense through our five senses. But there may be other forces and influences playing out that we just don't know.
Absolutely.
We don't know.
We had one in the studio the last time.
Yes, the last time you were here. Scared the bejesus out of Jason and me, right?
Yeah.
Some people might say that a lot of this is like bordering, that these are the true believers. I mean, Ouija boards, evil, don't go into the dark side, don't go in the dark places or the dark spirits. I mean, you have any belief about that, or people who say, be careful with this stuff, you don't know what you're messing with?
It absolutely depends on your intent and how you're using it. There's a lot of history about tarot being like the devil cards, right? There's some religions that absolutely forbid you to even touch them. I absolutely believe, you know, Ouija boards even kind of freak me out a little bit, but it's all about how you intend to use it. If you're trying to use it negatively, then you will absolutely access that energy, and that's what will fuel your readings. If you're trying to use something positively, you will access that level of energy, and that's how you'll fuel your readings.
Well, my own Latino culture, Dia de Muerto, you know, right around Halloween time, is the time when we believe that the veil between the living and the departed is that it's thinnest.
Yep.
And that communication with those departed is available and accessible. And I still I do that every Halloween.
And that happens on a mini level every single day from 3 a.m. to 4 a.m.
Yeah.
When the veil is it's at its weakest.
Nothing good happens between 3 and 4 a.m. Right, Jason? I thought you were going to play my Grindr sound clip there for me, but no.
What are you doing at 3 and 4 a.m., John?
I should be sleeping. We've got less than 30 seconds. Marcus, if people want more information about your readings and what you do, how can they reach you?
I have a website, marcusbarrington.com, and that is Marcus with a K, or you can check me out on Instagram at Barrington41.
Or you can get on his Facebook and watch him prance around with his daily predictions, which is what I do. Marcus, always good to have you.
Thank you so much. Hope you'll come back again.
Love having you here on the show.
Anytime.
When we come back, gang, we'll be talking to Lucy Kahn and Wes Siegmiller about the International Day Against Violence Against Sex Workers here on Channel Q.